Sorry,
That's
I
okay. No worries.
just
We're on tape. Future posterity. It's
thought
for sure. So yeah, so just to envision ourselves again in that moment of being in a circle together and having just opened our voices and our hearts in vocal harmony. And I want to reiterate what Scott said, the beauty of singing is that you've got one ear on your own voice, and you have to listen to your own voice to make sure that it's true, that it's on the right pitch, that it's in harmony with everyone else's voice. And to do that, you've got to have your other ear listening to everyone else. And so there's this beautiful relationship between our inner world as an individual and the shared reality that we have as a group. And when we have our ears open both inside to our own self and outside to be in harmony with everyone and everything around us, that this is the nature of spiritual alignment, that we aren't just focusing on our small self, our small story, although our story is so important and so real and so vivid, but we're also listening to see how our story aligns and harmonizes with the stories of everyone around us. And I want to add one more layer to this as we kind of form our circle and open our hearts to visualize our connection. I want to add one more layer of story. We've got this, our own individual story, and then harmonizing with the stories of everyone around us. And I want to add one even bigger layer of story, and that's to visualize the creative force, to really for a moment inwardly honor and recognize and visualize the creative force that gave rise to everything, that however many billions of years ago gave rise to this planet, and then gave rise to the life force on this planet, and all the life forms that came out of that, including the human life forms, this creative force that has given rise to everything that we experience in nature, everything that we experience in the cosmos, this kind of awe-inspiring creative force. And to imagine for a moment that there's our individual story, and then the stories of all of those around us. But there's also this great ongoing, pulsing, creative life story that stretches through us from the past towards the future. And that includes what we could become if we were able to fully align ourselves with that unfolding creative force. And so, in our mind's eye, just visualizing our story, the stories we align with in the community around us, and then this ongoing life story. Having our inner ear, our inner eye, our inner hope, heart oriented toward all of these layers of story as we open our call this evening. So welcome, welcome everybody. I don't know about all of you, but I am so grateful for the rain. It just feels like we moved from, yeah, it was great to have that sunshine and that warmth. It was awesome, but you could really feel how the earth needed to have the the rain come in order to move into the next cycle of growth and beauty. So it's very auspicious in the Indian world also to have rain as a very auspicious moment, a moment of possibility of new life. So it's very sweet that we're having this during our call tonight. Is it raining by all of you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's sweet, isn't it? Really
yeah.
sweet. So I wanted to acknowledge a couple of things. First of all, just the beauty of where we ended last time, and how heart-opening that was for me personally. And I just wanted to open the floor to everyone to kind of touch base with where our last class and all of the various things that we opened up to in our last class. We shared our 3-minute stories. We talked about contemplation and explored the spiritual practice of contemplation. And we enjoyed a couple of different beautiful presentations by Therese on how to weave the practice of contemplation into a creative expression of a life story or a life experience. And then we ended with Scott's beautiful, beautiful leading, choir directing of our voices into what I thought was a really extraordinarily beautiful song, experience of song. And I thought it was just amazing how beautifully our voices were interwoven, you know, with so little prior experience of what he was leading us in, for us to be able to open up to that level of harmonic convergence was really quite extraordinary. So I wanted to throw it out to all of you to share any of your thoughts or experiences about what unfolded in our last class together. And unless you're on mute on your phone, no one is muted, so please feel to jump in and share. Of course, being aware that, you know, if two of you do it at once, sort it out who's going to go first. So the floor is yours.
This is Christine, and I'm just looking forward to hearing anyone else since I had to miss the last class.
Oh. Welcome back, Christine. How was your journey?
It was wonderful. I had a great yoga time and week away.
Oh, that's great. Where were you, Costa Rica?
I was in Mexico, Reyes, with a yoga teacher from the Bay Area.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, does anybody want to fill Christine in? I did a little bit. Somebody else take a turn. Robin, are you there? Do you want to fill in?
Hi, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I loved the singing. I was just grinning from ear to ear the whole time. It just lights up my heart when I sing like that. And so Scott's energy is just so bright and love. It's like love beaming out of him the whole time. And I just catch that, you know, that wave and ride it, and so that with him and with everybody, and just totally enjoying that moment of singing together, that experience. And yeah, really, I don't know, something really special about it to to join our voices and, you know, and then to play the different parts that we did. We got it at one point. We split up into, you know, the high, the middle, and the low, and had different parts to sing. And I just think it's really fun. So that was a highlight for me. Yeah. And Karen, you touched on what Therese shared, which was pretty awesome as well. It was she did one of her her poems, which is a stand-up piece and super powerful and she's just got a strong voice, and I was very inspired. Seems like everybody was touched, and it's quite long, and she just has it all memorized, so it's super inspiring in that way too, about women and our place and society and stepping into our power and a lot of different topics were covered there. Someone else can fill that in if they like. So those were bright for me. We did some persona interview, and we started actually with I don't know if I can remember exactly how we started, but I know we shared our story silently. We talked about, first we shared how we felt about telling our story silently. And then we each told our story silently for 3 minutes, and some people got videoed. Maybe just one did. And then we did a persona interview based on the main persona that was struggling in some way, one way to put it, in that story. And that seemed really meaningful for people to bring that forward and shine a little more light on that. So that's how we launched in. It was awesome, super awesome to see everybody get up there and just have the courage to share and without words and just tell that story. It was the birth story, so from birth to now.
So. Yeah, it was super powerful. Super. It's amazing how much you can learn about life without ever hearing one word. Really, really powerful.
This is Nicole. I just want to add, thanks, Robin, for reminding me of everything, because I'm sitting in the bathtub without my notes, and I don't remember everything, so it was great that you just reviewed what we did, because I forgot that we did those persona interviews right after that, and it just came flooding back to me how amazing that was. Like, I felt like in doing those persona interviews, it happened to me last time as well, but this time some of the stuff that came out was so shocking, like stuff that I've been trying to figure out forever. All of a sudden, in particular, for one question was who do you learn that pattern from, or something like that. And just what came out of me just totally surprised me. I think there's something to be said for that kind of spontaneous, kind of like whatever just comes out on the cuff thinking off the cuff thinking without thinking about it too much, just what comes out. So I've been exploring some of that stuff that came out of me that day. It was really cool.
Awesome. I'm happy to hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really great.
That's fabulous. Yeah, that's been my experience with voice dialogue also. When you trace a pattern or a persona back to its origin, all of a sudden the whole pattern that felt so locked up and so completely a part of who I am dissolved into a strategy that arose at a certain time to deal with a certain problem and isn't fixed at all. It was just a strategy.
Right.
And it really loses its power in that moment.
Yeah.
That's great. That's been so liberating, Nicole.
Yeah, it was great. And then I also wanted to add that as far as the singing, that was just, I haven't had any musical back, very little anyway. My singing career really started when with singing lullabies and singing with my children. But so I've always been a little self-conscious about singing, and especially with groups. And when people are talking about stuff like pitch and key and stuff, like, I don't even know what people are talking about, to tell you the truth. So I really appreciated that he was able to kind of, like, I felt like I was actually, I actually learned something that day, and that I actually was a part of it and part of making it sound good, whereas normally I'm, like, trying to be all quiet. But he has this way about him that really kind of makes everybody rise, I feel like. And I felt like I got a lot out of it. And the other thing is that I had to go to the bathroom so badly, but I could not leave the room because I didn't want to miss a thing he said. Right. You know, because I feel that way about him too, that he's just oozing with this just amazingness. But I was like, I can't go to pee until he's gone.
Mm-hmm. I can totally relate. It's just every minute is fizzing.
Yeah.
Connection. It's like he talked about being connected, being dialed in, and it's like he's connected and he's got you connected.
Yeah.
And Christine, no one quite brought this forward, but at the very end, this last song we did was so complex. There were very deep voices and very high voices, and then voices in the middle, and it was around, and within just a few minutes, he had us singing this three-part harmony that was so exquisitely beautiful, and he was able to keep our attention trained on him so that 1 second we were all full-throated, three-part harmony, exquisite sound, and then he closed us all off, so we ended exactly at the same moment. So we went from this beautiful three-part harmony to total silence. And the feeling in your heart in that silence was so powerful. And we went from that, after sort of breaking up into our, you know, separate goodbyes and whatnot, we all came back into a circle and put our arms around each other. And then we passed kisses both ways to each person. And it was so spontaneous and heartfelt and beautiful. It was just such a powerful, beautiful moment.
Not to rub in what you missed.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad for you guys.
It was a great example of what can happen when everyone's voice opens together. And I remember when Robin and Therese and I were first sitting down, I think it was one of the very first brainstorming sessions that we had. We talked about the opening class and what we wanted to say and sort of our view of the class as a whole. And one of the things that we put down as the overarching vision of the course was that the voice was a connection between the head and the heart. And that's one thing that really resonated for me last week, was that when we all stepped into that place of just open-hearted singing together, you know, all of us were in alignment between our head and our heart, and then between the hearts of each person with the soul of the group. And that combined alignment takes you to a place of exquisite open-hearted love. It just naturally does that. And that is the power of voice. And to a certain degree, we can replicate that within ourselves as an individual when we really are speaking our truth and we're very aligned with the truth of what we're saying. But that nothing is as powerful as when we do that in a group and our voice is in full alignment within ourselves, but also with the voices of the group, that takes us to a place as in singing with Scott, or kirtan in the Hindu tradition, zikr in the Sufi tradition, singing hymns in the Protestant churches of my childhood, it can open your heart in such a powerful, powerful way. And this is one of the things that we really wanted to bring out in this course, as one of the powers of voice, not just the individual voice of the heart within each one of us, but the voice of the heart that opens when we sing together. So I was really very grateful to Scott, but even more so to the group for just jumping in so open-heartedly. You know, and Nicole, as you said, just like setting aside all thoughts of, oh, I'm a singer, I'm not a singer, I'm a bad singer, I'm a good singer. Letting all of that go and just
right.
jumping in. It was beautiful. So the other thing that we wanted to look at tonight, besides just connecting the dots from, you know, to our last experience when we were last together, is recognizing that we've asked all of you to really bring everything, all the experience of the class as a whole, together into an offering for our next class together on May 18th. And I've gotten a few emails about that, and of course it is, you know, a big thing to ask to invite everyone to come into the center and to speak their truth and to engage the practice of contemplation and share the fruits of that contemplation with the group. And so we wanted to just give each person in the group an opportunity to come into the center of the circle and share any questions or responses or thoughts or feelings or worries or concerns around doing that. So we wanted to just invite everyone to take a turn to do that. And, you know, if you haven't even thought about it, that's fine. You can let us know you haven't even thought about it. But Robin, if you've got the list of people on the call, if you could work through the list and invite each person into the center of the circle to just share their thoughts or feelings or inspirations around speaking their truth on May 18th.
Okay, so Nicole, you're first.
Well, let's see. Gosh, I guess a couple things have come up for me. I feel sort of confused because I never know what is like really the big topic, or if I'm using these, like the first idea that came to my mind that I was going to kind of, how I was going to, you know, what I was going to present. And then I had that all in my head for a whole week. I was planning it. And then all of a sudden, one night, I was journaling, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm hiding from this other thing by doing this and making this seem like the thing that I need to be doing. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm trying to figure out what really it is that I need to be focusing on. And then I feel like I have this other problem, and that's that I feel like I've chosen to, you know, come into this little community of people who I know are very respectful and, like, everything that happens in class, stays in class and stuff. I think we've had that kind of a conversation there anyway, and imagine that everybody just knows that. But I sort of have this feeling, I'm just going to put it out there because it's come up for me a couple times, that if I'm sharing stuff about my relationship and my partner, that it might not be necessarily fair to him, especially if there's other people in the class that know him. So that's something that, like, here I am all eager to speak my truth, and then, you know, how do I do that in a respectful way to him? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It totally makes sense.
So sometimes in class I do this, I go to this other story, which is a story about me and my daughter and, you know, more of a mom thing when I kind of feel like my big story is dealing with my relationship. But I end up spending time in class on other things because I feel like, oh, I can't really share that about him. And you know what I mean? So
no.
I feel sort of stuck in that.
Yeah. Those are two beautiful questions. Beautiful, beautiful questions. And can I address both of them?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Great. So I'm going to go to the first one first. This is me too. I love exploring all the options of all the different things that I could do, and in my mind, imagining how I'll do them. And then I hop from one to the other to the other. And I suspect that for me, that becomes a way, because it's the energy of beginning. And beginning is so exciting, and I jump from one to the next, and it becomes a way of not doing, facing the hard part of actually imagining myself into doing the difficult work that's necessary to really turn that issue into an experience of truth, a revealed truth. And of course, that's the real thing that we all need to work on. It's not the issue itself. It's cultivating the ability to turn any issue into an opportunity for revelation from within. So in essence, it doesn't matter so much which issue we choose.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking that step of diving deeper and seeing the issue as an opportunity to unfold wisdom from within.
Okay.
And cultivating that ability. And that ability comes step by step as we turn each issue into an opportunity for inner enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, it's great to choose an issue that's current, that's alive, that you really could use some inner enlightenment around.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great to choose an issue that isn't your key core life issue, because that might be like climbing Mount Everest before
right.
you've got your
right.
climbing shoes and worn in.
Right.
but I think that ultimately which issue we choose doesn't matter nearly so much as the depth we're able to open to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great question.
Thank you.
Beautiful question, Nicole. And your other question is also such a beautiful question. And there's a really powerful way to, in essence, utilize the issues that we, you know, that we have with our significant others. And I don't just mean our partners, our life partners, but everyone, you know, in our life may be related in some way, ultimately, to the people that we're sharing this work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that issue of confidentiality to protect, you know, protect your confidentiality, but also the issue that you bring up of respect for the other people in the life issues that we bring to the circle is such an important, important theme. And the way I believe that the key way that we do that is by recognizing the part that we play,
right,
and working on that,
right,
and to the degree that we represent the other person as a problem, as something that we have to deal with, and we emphasize our powerlessness in the face of that person as a problem, that's the degree to which we are not yet uncovering our own role, our own choices in the situation, And that's where the real revelation comes. We will never get an aha moment of real insight or revelation about someone else's contribution. I mean, we may, you know, we may, but that's not the real juice, because we're not here to enlighten them. We're here to become enlightened and wise so that we know how to enter into that relationship or that issue from a different place. And so if we can bring that relationship into the group in a way that focuses on our choices, on our role, on what we bring to the table, it's going to be way more helpful for us in terms of really coming to an aha moment that can change the situation dramatically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's good. I feel like I feel like it's even more, like I just, it's kind of hard to explain. not really, because I wasn't really, that makes complete sense.
But it doesn't get to the core of your...
I guess for me, it's just that it doesn't, it almost feels unfair to me to... Okay, I'll just say exactly what's on my mind. that sometimes, if I feel like there's a lot of people in our class that know my partner, and I just feel like that, yes, it's totally ridiculous. Everyone has issues in their life and stuff, but I just feel like there's this image that everything's awesome in our relationship, and and so I feel like even if I'm owning up to my part in it, you know what I mean? I'm not saying he's any bad at all. Mm-hmm. But it's even just putting that out there that there's anything even, you know, going on that's not completely perfect and rosy, that I just feel like that's even unfair to him, you know? I feel like, and part of it is I've had this conversation with him. He's a little uncomfortable with the fact that I'm in this class with all these people that, you know, what are you telling them kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not, and he's not worried that I'm, you know, saying things bad about him or anything, but just, I don't know, just, it's just, he's a very private person.
Yeah, I can resonate with that. My partner's also very private, and I personally probably wouldn't work on my relationship with my partner in a group like this for exactly that kind of reason, because of his issues for privacy. And so I think respecting that is really powerful. And there may be ways that you can work on the issue itself. And another way to do that is to find the issue in its origin.
Okay.
Because most of the issues that we have in relationships go back to other relationships we've had earlier in our life. So if we have, I'll just, you know, pull a couple of possibilities out of thin air. Say if we have issues around trust, or if we have issues around hierarchy, or enabling, or, you know, or in our current relationship, we can often find shadows of that in an earlier relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to work on that can be incredibly liberating.
Right. Thank you so much. This has totally helped me.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. You're welcome, Nicole. There's one other thing I just want to add, and that's I can't help it. It's just right there, like a jewel in the path, Nicole.
Uh-huh.
When you say, you know, everyone sees our relationship is so perfect.
Yeah.
I just played a little with an exercise earlier today that I found very powerful. And in that exercise, I was asked to write down some key things about myself you know, that are part of kind of who I am. And it felt to me when you said that, you know, our relationship is perfect.
Right.
It's a, kind of a key part of your identity as a married person.
Right.
And so anyway, in this exercise, what we did was we wrote down these key aspects of who we are. And, you know, no judgment. There's no judgment here. Because, you know, all of us, we have identities. You know, we have personal identities, private identities, outer identities. So write these things down. And then imagine someone that you really, really trust, that you really, really respect. You, that you respect so much that if they were to say to you this thing about yourself that, you know, is part of your identity, our relationship is perfect. If this person that you totally, totally trust said to you, no, your relationship's not perfect. Of course it's not perfect. How could it be perfect? What would that make you feel? And I'm not asking you to answer this question. I'm demonstrating the exercise. And I had a list of 10 things about myself that, you know, I felt that were true of me, so true of me that other people would say, yes, yes, that's who Karen is. And I went through this list of, you know, 6 or 8 things and imagined someone I really, really trusted saying, no, no, that's not true about you. And what I found was some of them made me feel defensive. Others, when the person said, no, they're not true, I didn't feel anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Was very interesting to see which ones elicited a defensive reaction and then think about why that was so. So I wanted to bring that up as a possible tool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I hear Therese.
Actually, no, that's
wow.
mine.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm going to mute myself for a moment here.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So, Robin, do you want to go to the next person on the call?
Yeah, that would be Christine. Okay. Well, I hadn't given it any thought. I was just looking at the website today to try to figure out where we were at. And I'm, I guess, at a little bit of a loss of where to start, but I guess, you know, usually that's true for me in these kinds of things, and what I need to do is just sit down with my journal and start, just start writing and see what comes out. That seems to be a tool that we've done in this class and that I've done elsewhere that works pretty well for me, and so I guess I'll try that and see what sort of comes out in terms of possible themes or ideas to share.
Great, Christine. And I would also really encourage you to, I don't know if the talk on contemplation was up on the website yet. I actually had to work with WordPress to get that talk up there.
Okay.
And it's now up, and that so that will give some real constructive guidance on how to work with the practice of contemplation.
Great.
Good.
Yeah, because I don't know exactly what that means, so that hopefully will be helpful.
Good. And also, have you gotten a chance to talk with Therese about the assignment? And
I haven't.
Ooh, well, good. There's a great resource.
Okay, I will call her and get in touch.
Yeah. And, I mean, basically what we want to do is kind of bring all the tools that we've worked on in the class to bear in an exercise where we kind of speak our own truth, not just in telling the story, but in telling the story with the added wisdom of having gone within to look for inspiration and guidance and wisdom about what this story is here to teach us.
Okay.
Yeah. So I hope that helps. And if you have any questions, just, you know, feel free to email all of us teachers and let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Good. Great. So, Robin, did we have anybody else join the call?
Well, we do.
Good.
So I'm thinking it might be Carlisle at the 668 number.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Yay. Hi, Carl.
Hi. So I've definitely had a lot of things running through my mind at miscellaneous times when I wasn't consciously setting aside time for this exercise. And tonight's call is somewhat redefining what the assignment is. It's interesting because with having done our 3-minute life stories from birth to the present and then getting this assignment, I stayed sort of in that vein, thinking that I was doing my life story and thought about fun things like collages of real photographs and what those photographs would be, and it's fun to have those fleeting images of what instantly comes to mind as important milestone photographs that exist that I could somehow locate and put into a presentable form by May 18th, but that's not going to happen. But it's still fun to have it come fleetingly through my mind. But now, initiated by Nicole's comments and Karen's response, I'm like, oh, yeah, that hard story that we were working on that in our second class session and beyond, because that's not where I've been in terms of my working towards my integration for this 10-minute or some sort of presentation for May 18th. So now it's thinking, oh, my, which they don't feel like the same. So that's interesting. My life story and my challenging issue don't feel like they would come into the same product. And yet the most integrated product, of course, would involve them both. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense, Carlisle. And I mean, I love the idea of a life story collage. I think that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And
it won't happen, though.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I have, like, zero free discretionary time between now and the 18th.
Oh, my gosh. So what a shame.
I have many special projects happening in my life that are taking all the extra time. I just mean that it's fun. The assignment in and of itself is fun to have floating around. And I'll just say one final thing is that for some number of years now, I've had the idea that I really wanted to write a meaningful morning prayer for myself. That reminds me of who I am, where I've been, where I'm going, and what my intentions are for today and always.
Mm.
And to really, really take that to heart and make it mine. And let it evolve as I evolve. You know, it doesn't have to never be edited.
Mm.
But so that's the sort of the third piece is why not use this to really create my first version of an adoptable morning prayer.
Oh, Carlisle, you're just filled with great ideas. I'm just like, my heart is singing. That is just beautiful. I mean, what, each one, my heart's grabbing onto it. What an incredible thing to do for a class on awakening the inner voice that's dealing with life stories. You know, to write your own heartfelt life prayer.
Right.
That's just beautiful. And, you know, for anyone who's either listening now or who is going to listen to this call, I just want to celebrate the beautiful inspiration in your ideas, Carlisle. You know, the idea of a collage of your life story is such a powerful way to connect with the opportunity for deeper life wisdom about what the purpose of this life is.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate everything, you know, that has come and also that which has been challenging, to just to lay that all out and look at it as a whole is an incredible opportunity for spiritual self-reflection. So there's no need whatsoever to feel constrained by working on the tough life story. It's the real assignment is to make that inner connection with inner wisdom, mm-hmm. in whatever way wants to creatively express itself through you.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I'm not thinking about drywall and spackle and leases and background checks and all this extra stuff, then I'll just be working on that.
Well, you know, spackle and drywall might be a great place to scribble that out. You can, you know, you scribble out that prayer, and whenever pieces of it come to you, painting can be an incredibly contemplative activity. Or not painting, you know, that kind of the drywall where you're...
Right,
you know,
the mundane.
Yeah, and you've got a totally blank canvas to write different phrases or versions of your prayer, and then, you know, just jot down whatever works for you in that moment and capture it, and then paint over it before your new tenant arrives. I find I do my best creative work in that kind of moment where I'm not actually sitting in front of the computer.
Mm-hmm. I do mine when I'm physically active, like huffing and puffing to the top of a ridge or something.
Right, exactly, which is why I got an iPod so that I could record it. And or when I'm driving out to the cabin, you know, I have my little recording app on my iPod, and I can just record that thought.
Right.
And that way, the busyness of life doesn't keep me from recognizing and cherishing and recording those flashes of inspiration. I can't wait to hear your prayer.
I can't wait either. I hope it emerges.
Thank you, Carlisle. It's beautiful.
Great. So, Julie, you're next.
Oh, what am I doing? I just got on like 10 minutes ago.
So, Julie, it's really been fun. We've been going around the circle sharing either what we've thought about for offering to the group at our next session, or our feelings about offering it or not offering it, our resistance, you know, whatever comes up around our sharing our truth together at our next gathering.
Okay. Well, I have been brainstorming and not really feeling like I'm coming up with a big aha. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could do dance, but that's comfortable for me, and I kind of want to stretch myself beyond what's comfortable. So I don't know. I today I was just thinking about writing a song, which is something that I really have never done, and I just recently started learning to play the ukulele. And so I don't know. I've been thinking about maybe writing a song.
Great. When did you arrive on the call? I'm wondering, Julie. What was happening?
Well, I think Nicole was talking just at the end.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't know. She was kind of finishing up what she was saying.
So you've heard everything from, you know, working on a current life issue to a collage of life pictures to life's prayer. So, yeah, okay, good. So you've kind of heard all of those various
Yeah.
Good. Great. Great. Yeah, I think the medium is just totally open-ended. And then, of course, the real heart of it is the message.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the message that wants to come through, you know, into whatever medium feels the most fun.
Right. Yeah. There's, yeah, I guess it's getting to what wants to come through. There's a lot that has come through over time in my life, but I guess what is coming up now for me in my life, and what do I want to bring through? I haven't really, haven't fully come to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
Right. I guess one thought on how to look back at a life of, you know, messages or inspiration or challenge or difficulty, it can be challenging to break through that surface of medium and life story, you know, to go down into what wants to be said in this moment. You know, what is the growing edge in this moment that would allow you to come into an open-hearted place of sharing your story.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be the whole story. It can be one piece of the story that opens your heart. And we've really focused on challenging stories, and I'm concerned in a way that becomes a limiting message. Because for some people, the real learning has happened, say, through childbirth,
mm-hmm.
or through a heart-opening moment with a grandparent in early childhood. Do you know, there can be so many uplifting stories as well.
Yeah.
And maybe there is something, you know, of that nature that might be easier to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been that. I've been focusing more on kind of the outcome, I guess, of what I've learned through difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is always I don't know how to, you know, I mean, it always comes to that place of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know.
Do you feel like...
I don't know. I mean, that's what when I have been feeling into it, it really seems to come to gratitude for others. I mean, I feel like I want to, like, I've had the thoughts of I want to somehow acknowledge what I have received from other people, like from other people in the class, and what we have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, you know, and I'm not exactly sure in what way. But I just feel like it kind of always comes back to that for me, acknowledging, I don't know, the gifts and the learning that I receive from other people.
Mm-hmm. Is there, do you have a strong experience of gratitude, say, from early childhood? Is there a time when that really came through?
I don't know. Not something that pops out right now.
Mm.
Julie, this is Therese. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you well.
Yeah, okay. I thought so. Just as I was listening to you talk, and everyone really, like, I just wanted to say that, you know, I love hearing what you're doing, and I think that you have these moments of clarity or these, you know, these pieces that start coming together. I just always come back to the idea of just trusting that process, you know, just trusting that if you keep looking in that direction, like, you know, I want to express gratitude. I'm not quite sure how, you know, and just keep letting that marinate, but it will unfold, you know, it really will.
Mm-hmm.
And just trusting that.
Mm.
Yeah. And I do, I mean, I used to, I was a dancer and I would choreograph and perform, and I was always like that, you know, like feeling the fear of failing, for one, and the fear mm-hmm. of, like, nothing would come together or, you know, and all this stuff. And then, I mean, really, I think it's giving it time and contemplation, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really the big thing. And in the past when I've done that process, it does come together.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's just in the moments while I'm driving in my car or, you know, have these moments of just, I mean, I'm thinking about it a lot, but I haven't had, like, big spaces of time to really sink myself into it, not like I did in my 20s, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've been working through on mine too, and that was sort of a fear of mine that I wouldn't have the space of time. But then it was just like Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was like, I need to write right now, and it just everything happened so I could write for 4 hours, and I was like, oh my God, I just wrote for 4 hours. Like, so I think that too, you know, for me, like, as a mom, that's like another challenge now. And I mean, anyone who has a really busy full plate, you know, how is that time piece going to happen? And just trusting that when you need it to, you know, that you will make that happen somehow and the resources will be there,
right.
To do that.
Yeah, something will happen.
Yeah.
That's really true, Therese. And I know for myself, as I have unfolded this practice of listening to the heart's wisdom, particularly in the last few years, it really has become so vividly clear to me that it's not about setting aside an hour or two to listen to the wisdom of the heart. The wisdom of the heart flashes. It just flashes. It's there. You know, like a comet across the sky, like a shooting star across the sky. It's almost like the inspiration of the heart doesn't take up any time at all. It just, when we open our hearts towards it, it just comes. So then the trick is to learn how to capture and record it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we do that through artwork or a recording device or a journal or a notebook. And the way that comet opens and happens and unfolds is because we create an inner intention to be open to it. So it's almost like all that left brain activity and the emotional body's, you know, sort of ups and downs. First, one minute it's totally excited. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get to do this project. And the next minute it's gripped by fear. Oh my God, I have to do this project. You know, and then all the thoughts that get engendered by that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of time. And we could set aside hours and days and weeks for all of that. But to set that inner intention, I want to be open to wisdom about what this life means, what my life means, what my relationships with the most important people in my life, what does that really mean? What am I supposed to learn? That inner intention doesn't take any time at all. We just step into it. And when we step into that inner intention on a day-by-day basis, an hour-by-hour basis, then those little comets start shooting across the sky all the time. And then our challenge is just to have a pencil ready, to have the recorder ready, to capture it, so that we can then turn it into a work of art, which is our life. So I really want to encourage that it doesn't matter how full our lives are. It just doesn't matter. My life is insanely full. But I have that inner intention, and I have my iPod, and I have my journal, and I have that inner orientation. Yes, I want to be open to learning the deeper message about what this life is really all about. And that doesn't take any time at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's beautiful to hear that you're a dancer, Julie. I kind of got that from your 3-minute story. You know, I totally got, here's a beautiful dancer. But I didn't know that you were a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So if that's your medium, why not let it come through in that form?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might. And I'm getting in touch with that again more. So yeah, it might. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, it's getting towards the time. Robin, are there more people in the queue?
There are not, unless Therese wants to say more.
Well, maybe I'll share a little bit about my process. It's been really interesting. I started writing a play, and, you know, at first I was kind of going through those mental things too, thinking about this assignment and what that might be, and then I did just kind of consciously kick that out of my head and went back to my own practice of writing and what do I need to write right now, and was really excited that this play started coming, and I wrote for 4 hours on Tuesdays and 4 hours on Thursday, and then I was just so incredibly exhausted all weekend, and I'm still feeling that. And it's just interesting, you know, it's interesting to watch, and I'm really thankful for the group of this class to have that this experience with, because I really think, you know, like I'm riding this creative wave better than I've ridden any in the past so far, so knock on wood, but just recognizing that it's comes like that sometimes, but it's interesting, like, listening to Karen, a lot of the things that you were talking of, like, what is that wisdom, and, like, I have the scene in my head, like, I can see it, but I can't hear it yet, and I'm so excited to, like, hear the words, you know, and I'm trying not to get, like, overly, you know, grasping at it, you know, and just trying to be patient, but it'll come, and hopefully it'll come before May 18th, and if it doesn't, then it doesn't, you know, and and I will be where I'm at, you know, but yeah, it's been really exciting and exhausting all in one, so.
Well, if you're looking for actors and actresses to act out your scene when you get it written, let us know.
I know, and I was actually, Julie, I was kind of biting in my fingers, being like, I have, like, all these choreographed scenes, and honestly, like, there's a lot of things that are in there already that came from watching, you know, you guys, like when Lori like peeled her skin off, you know, like I wrote that in, you know, that was in there, and like Tim knocking over the blocks when he was like a little kid playing, and you know, just all these little things that watching all of you, it's been just a really incredible inspiration that's just sort of seeping in to my creative palette. So thank you for that. Julie may be my choreographer if it ever gets performed and finished.
I have to echo that, Therese. Just the it was so inspiring to see all of the all the stories acted out. And I don't know how this would make everyone else feel, but I was really wishing at the end that we had recorded everyone, just so each one of you could see how powerful your presentations were. I felt that it would have been, I really was sad that each of you didn't get to see yourself. And I really kind of, I did regret that we hadn't recorded all of them because they were all so powerful, each in their own way. Mm-hmm.
I have a comment about that. This is Carlisle.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience from the inside of doing something
mm-hmm.
is so uniquely mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience of looking back at myself from the outside
mm-hmm.
always feels very, very different.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that difference could be informative, but it's not a way of preserving what happened from inside me. And I think about at my father's burial that I was the only immediate family member who wanted to speak, and I did speak from my heart and very powerfully, and it was recorded because not everyone was there. And the very next morning, my immediate siblings and were watching the video of the mm-hmm. service that had happened the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back in at the gravesite, still experiencing it from within.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting at home saying, how can she even stand to go back to the cemetery? But they were watching it on the television screen.
Huh.
And I think of that moment, and anyway, I just wanted to share, mm-hmm. as you share your regret that we didn't all get to see ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that I was there, I did it, it was me,
uh-huh.
and I still have that from the inside.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that, and it assuages that feeling entirely. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'm thinking that there's another way that we could, in the future, when Robin had us do the exercise the first time, we were in small groups, and the audiences mirrored with their bodies and expressed what they were feeling in response. And maybe that is even more what was missing, is there were moments in each of your life stories where I wanted to share with you what I was feeling watching you. And so maybe that's what's really missing, is the mirroring from the audience of the power of what was shared. So thank you so much for sharing that. I that really helps me see it in a different perspective. Well, we're at our time, and I'm really grateful to all of you that came to be on the call tonight, and I hope that others who weren't able to be here will listen and get inspired by all of what you, each one of you, has shared about your thoughts and inspirations and hesitations about the assignment. I hope that everyone else can benefit from that, and that you all have a really fantastic week and a half until we get together the next time. And so many thanks to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.